Glenn. Glenn was talking about this teacher that kept missing, you know, at school. And, you know, he had to finally call him in, and he said, look, he says, I want to hear the excuse personally, because I keep hearing your principal, you know, you've been to your grandfather's funeral four times. And he said, I just want to hear myself what your excuse is this time. And he says, well, my grandma's getting married again. So, grandmother, four times, grandma, never mind. He didn't think it was funny either. Okay, we talked about the last time, 3 minutes ago, submitting to government. And this time we want to talk about the idea of slaves submitting to their masters. Now the problem with this idea is that we no longer have slavery. So we could do several things here. We could just kind of say, well, we don't have slavery anymore, so let's just kick this out of the Bible, not have anything to do with it. But the problem with that is I don't want to kick anything out of the Bible. The other thing is that there are some very valid principles that can be applied in other areas as well. So we want to shift the idea and the principles taught in this passage to our employment and think about the idea of submitting to our employers. Okay, so let's read it beginning in verse 18. Let me see, make sure I'm in the right place. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are gentle and good, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. But what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it? This finds favor with God. Let's continue to the end of the chapter. For you have been called. Now, this section here is talking about both the submission to government and submission to masters here. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in him or in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Father, we just lift this passage up, and we ask that you would encourage us and help us to understand and apply things in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. When is suffering commendable? Commendable. According to what we just read, there is a reward when we suffer for living for the Lord, for standing for the Lord. Write that down, sir. Standing for the Lord. There is no reward for suffering for our own wrongdoing. You saw that in 19 and 20. If he finds favor for the sake of conscience for God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated? You endure it with patience. But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it for this finds favor with the Lord. God gives us the strength, write that down, to endure the kind of suffering that we do for Him. James 1, verse 2. My friends, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. And then, at the end there, it tells us that Christ is our example. You've been called, in verse 21, for this purpose. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. And then it says, He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in Him. He is our example for everything in life, folks. And this includes, write this down, the reality of suffering. Let me just tell you that suffering is a very real part of everyone's life. And the Christianity that tells you that you never have to suffer if you belong to Jesus is a lie. That is not true. That is nowhere in Scripture. It is nowhere in anyone's life that's ever been a follower of Christ. If you read great men and women of God, every one of them have suffered. It is not true. God, through Christ, showed us how to respond to it, though. We must, it says, endure. Write it down, endure, and not retaliate. Think about Jesus on the cross. Do you think He suffered on the cross? I mean, okay, you got, first He'd already been beat up pretty good, right? And then they throw Him down and they nail Him to the cross. That would hurt. Then they nail His legs, take off all His clothes and hang Him up there naked before everybody. You think that He suffered? I mean, and not only that, He's hanging up there, nailed to the cross, suffering, and everybody's down here making fun of Him and laughing at Him and mocking Him. You don't think that hurt? Do you don't think that was suffering? Did He, at any point, while He was on the cross, whine around about it? He could have called to His Father. He was the commander of the Lord's army. He could have commanded angels to come and rescue Him and destroy the world. I mean, He would have been justified because He didn't ever do anything wrong. On the cross, it says here, Jesus never replied to any of the verbal abuse He received. What did He say? Father, what? Forgive them. That's His reply. On the cross, Jesus did what was right. And what is right? Here's what is right, guys. Whatever the will of the Father is, that's what's right. Was it the will of the Father for Jesus to die on the cross? Yes, it was. Jesus had spent the night in prayer. He had begged not to have to die on the cross. And at the end, He said, not my will, but your will be done. You understand that? So even though it looked like the greatest travesty of justice that the world has ever seen, it was God's will. And so it was right. We need to understand that. We need to understand that. On the cross, Jesus did what was right. Jesus on the cross did what was right. He committed the rest to the Lord, who is the righteous judge. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 53. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. He never said a word. Like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared, he never said a word. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die, and no one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of our people. He was placed in a grave with those who are evil. He was buried with the rich, even though he had never committed a crime. He had never told a lie. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made him share our sin in order that in union with him we might share the righteousness of God. And you'll notice in verse 24, he himself bore our sins on literally the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Now the tree, of course, translated in this translation, the cross. It's interesting because in Deuteronomy 21, it talks about this, and it talks about people who die on trees like this. Well, let me just read it. If someone has been put to death for a crime and the body is hung on a tree, it is not to remain there overnight. It must be buried the same day because a dead body hanging on a post brings God's curse on the land. Now, it's a curse to hang on a tree like Jesus did. And in Galatians 3:13, by becoming a curse for us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse that the law brings. For the scripture says, anyone who is hanged on a tree is under God's curse. So folks, listen to me. Because Jesus was submissive, write it down, submissive, when he was treated unfairly and he went to the cross, we are saved, we are restored to spiritual health, and we are returned to safety. Okay, he's our example. We don't know why things happen to us the way they do. We don't know why life is so unfair to us at times. We don't get it. We don't understand it. We don't know, but God does. And if Jesus is our example, and Jesus never did anything to deserve the cross, but he went there because it was the will of the Father, then we don't have any right, unless we're just acting stupid and getting what we deserve. I'm not talking about that. But if we're doing what God wants us to do and we have tough times, well, then let's just go through them with God. And Isaiah goes on. He says in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, but he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God, but because of our sins he was wounded. He was beaten because of the evil we did. And we are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserve. Now, what does all this have to do with submitting to those in authority to us at work? Or submitting to authority to the government. Here's the principle. Submitting to authority, even unjust authority, can and does have a positive witness for King Jesus. That's why we are here. That's why Jesus saved us.
to be a positive witness for him. Now remember this. This is speaking of suffering when we stand for Jesus. It does not apply to the suffering we have because we've acted stupidly or sinned. Sometimes I get kind of frustrated as a pastor when I go to somebody that's been living in sin for years and years and years, and they finally are suffering and having troubles and all of that, and they just say, "Why is God doing this to me?" And I just want to say, because you're stupid. You've been living in sin forever and ever and ever, and God is, you're reaping what you sowed. You know, that's not considered politically correct now to do that, Kevin. You can't do that anymore. In the old days, they would have. And of course, there is grace, even at that point. But people expect, okay, grace means everything's going to be made perfectly right again. And no, it doesn't. Grace means that God receives you no matter what. That doesn't mean your wife that you've cheated on for 10 years is going to take you back. You know what I'm saying? We need to understand that. Okay, so there's a big difference. We need to submit to authority, whether it's the government, whether it's our boss. And ladies, we're going to be talking a little bit about submitting to our husbands. People don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. That's why we're doing it on Wednesday night. No, I'm just kidding. Just happened to flow that way. But the truth is, there is authority over you. I hear these kids in high school. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I can't wait to get out of this place. Nobody's going to tell me what to do ever again. You know, you just think you're an idiot. You know, hey, Bobby, I have people that are, these guys going into the military, they say, I can't wait to get out of this place. Nobody's going to tell me what to do anymore. And I'm thinking, you're an idiot. You just don't have a clue, you know. And that is true. If you're going to go to college, you're still going to be under authority. If you're going to go to get a job, you're going to be under authority. If you're going to go especially into the military, you're going to be under authority. All your life, you're going to be under authority. And you better learn to submit to that authority or you're in for a miserable life. Why do you think we have so many people that are miserable in our country? Why do we have so many people who can't work more than 6 months at a job? They don't know anything about authority. They haven't been had to go down to under authority all their lives because the homes are in such a mess. And parents who are divorced, they're trying to compete with each other to get the kids. And so they, you know, don't have any authority. Okay, a couple of questions to finish up with. When is suffering commendable and a good witness? I'll give you a clue. Is it give you a choice? Multiple choice. How about that? Multiple choice. Annie, you like those, I know, being a nursing student. When we whine and complain and call in the union, or when we are silent and remain positive. Which makes suffering commendable and a good witness? B. Yeah. But I have a tendency to whine. I like to whine a lot. I do when I'm suffering. Can't you bet I like to whine? It's just, oh, poor me. How many of y'all do that? You know, yeah, we do. But you know, it's really a better witness if we just stay silent and do, you know, just do what God wants to do and hang in there, you know. If you've ever had a snarky teacher, you know, particularly in college or whatever, anywhere, or if you've ever had a boss that you just couldn't get along, you know, you're a better witness to hang in there. Why is that? You're submitting to authority. Who did that? Who remained silent? Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but when they nailed me down their boots and started nailing that thing through my wrist, you know, I don't know about it. I'd be, no, no, don't. you know. One more. Why is this concept we've been talking about such a radical change from what the world says about things? Yeah, the world's pretty selfish. Is that what you're saying? The world's based on principles of selfishness. If I don't get my way, I'm going to have a hissy fit. What my mama used to say, hissy fit. I don't know what's a hissy fit. You know. You ever watch the commercials for the lawyers? You know, you want to get millions of dollars, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying here, guys? If there is no difference between us and the world, what good are we? And, you know, I just think we need to consider all of that, you know. And when we're considering our jobs, when we're considering the government and some of the stupid things they do, and really and truly, let's just be honest, you know, they do. I didn't realize, you know, Lawrence, till we started trying to get Becky lined up here on the Social Security, you know, really, it's amazing. It's amazing that we're functioning, you know. But you just go on and try to do what you can do the best that you can do it, you know. When you're in the military, do you ever have somebody that was an unreasonable officer or somebody over you, you know? Did you still have to follow their orders? Sure you did. All right. Any questions, any comments, anything before we have our closing prayer?
Are we all the same Sunday school? Well, I just kind of thought about it. What if, like, really suffering isn't, I mean, yes, it hurts you, but what if suffering is really for other people? Like, your suffering is really a testament to other people. Like, so if you never suffered, then what testament could you ever have? Like, it's kind of hard to talk to kids about, you know, about being divorced family, whatever.
Right.
Like, you gotta have been there and done it. Like, we're talking about Silas and Paul being in prison, you know, unjustly. Paul can say, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you can't put me in jail.
Yeah.
But if he would open his mouth, the jailer would have never been saved, his family would have never been saved. And that's hundreds or thousands of people down the line that would have never heard the message.
You're exactly right, Cater. That, I think, sums up what we're trying to say. If we don't suffer and handle it the way God wants us to handle it, then we're causing people to lose out. You know, just like Paul and Silas. Paul could have spoke up right of sight, like you said, not even gone to jail. But look at what happened when he did. That's excellent, yeah. Anyone else? Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll finish for today. And Lord, we thank you for this time together, and I pray that you would help all of us, because every one of us, all this week, we're going to have things come up that are going to be unfair and just... Help us to learn to handle it. Lord, help me to do that. Help us all to do that like you would. Help us to be lights for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.